Well, whether you decide to have children using the latest technology or the old-fashioned way, you also have to decide how many children to have. Commentator Bonnie Oslinder has been crunching the numbers.
My husband and I met in Asheville, North Carolina, where writer Bill McKibben was giving a reading. So it was fitting that after our daughter was born, a friend gave us a copy of Maybe One, McKibben's book, in which he argues that having only one child is the soundest environmental choice those of us in the developed world can make. At least I think that's what he wrote. I didn't read it. I hid it. It had been difficult enough convincing my husband that we should have one child. I knew getting him to father two would be harder than making him take me to the latest Jane Austen film adaptation. I didn't want any persuasive tracts lying around that he could use to bolster his position, so I took McKibben's book and shoved it behind some old bank statements at the bottom of a filing cabinet. Having two kids has always been my goal. It's practically a family tradition. I'm one of two, so is my father, and so are all of his cousins. And I've always believed producing two kids who would eventually replace their parents was okay, even if it meant that for an overlapping time we would be planting a larger environmental footprint on the planet. So, while intellectually I agreed with McKibben that producing one child was best, I couldn't imagine intentionally raising a single child. They might turn out too bossy or too lonely, and who would they compare notes with later on about their nutty parents? If I had read McKibben's book, I would have learned that only children aren't any more likely than those with siblings to be overbearing or friendless, but I waited until after our second child was born to see what he had to say. Now, 8 years after McKibben's book was published, I find myself surrounded by friends and acquaintances who aren't stopping at one or hanging at two, but who are having three or four or even more. A conversation with a demographer confirmed my hunch. Family size in the U.S. is on the rise. So what's going on here? Are these couples hoping for a girl at last after having two boys? Is it a desire to advertise their fertility? Or could it be, as it was for one couple I read about, a marker of affluence that boasts, I can afford to have more kids than you? Then I remembered what Amir, a newly married Palestinian man I knew when I lived in Germany, said to me. If I stay here, two kids is enough, he told me. But if I move back to Palestine and stop at two, my friends will say, what's the matter with you? Are you sterile? The pressure Amir described to have a big family is about who he is and where he's from. But as the planet's crisis worsens, there's pressure, or there should be, pushing us all in the opposite direction. In that sense, we're all Amir, standing at the crossroads as we weigh how many kids we want against how many kids the planet can bear.
Commentator Bonnie Oslinder, her husband, and two children, just two, live in Bethesda, Maryland. You can hear our program anytime on our website or get a download for your pod, my pod or iPod. The address is loe.org. That's loe.org. You can reach us at comments@loe.org. Once again, comments@loe.org. Our postal address is 20 Holland Street, Somerville, Massachusetts, 02144. And you can call our listener line at 800-218-9988. That's 1-800-218-9988. CDs and transcripts are $15. Keep listening to Living on Earth.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation, online at MOTT.org, supporting efforts to promote a just, equitable, and sustainable society. The Kresge Foundation, investing in nonprofits to help them catalyze growth, connect to stakeholders, and challenge greater support. On the web at Kresge.org. And the Kellogg Foundation, helping people help themselves by investing in children, their families, and their communities. On the web at WKKF.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.